Okay, today's daf in Masechet Kedushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud. So let's just remember, why don't we start from the top of the daf so we get right back into that sugya. Omer Rabbi Zera, Maida Rebbe Linyan Knas, Tekulo Mishalmi. We said, remember we had a machlokas about, in a case where you have 10 people, 10 men who rape the same woman who was a betula, what is the halacha of, is she considered to be a nara urasa betula, or is she considered to be a bula once the first one rapes her? Now, obviously, if this was a normal type of intercourse, of course she would be a bula. And the only one that would be chayev skila, which is the special din of a nara betula, as opposed to simply a married woman, which would be a din of chenek, over here, that's for sure. But we're talking about over here a case where all of them actually were ba'ala shalo kedarka. So in other words, in terms of physical penetration, there was no vaginal penetration, and therefore there's no bepashtas, it wouldn't make her a bu'ula. Now the question is whether, since bia is considered to be bia no matter how it's done, so she would be a bula. So we had a machlokas between the Chachamim and between Rebbe. Rebbe claimed that the din is that only the normal bia would make her a bula. As Chachamim said, in this case, she's considered that when it comes, even though, so Rebbe normally would say that when it comes to this difference of the chiyav of misa, she's not considered to be a betula, but when it comes to the din of knas, she is considered to be a betula. According to the Chachamim, there's no difference between any of these cases, and basically the halacha would be exactly the same, only the halacha would be that if she's a dayani betula, they're all chayav in skila, in all cases. But here we say that Rebbe is made that when it comes to a knas, that all of them are considered to have been ba'ala betula. So in other words, where we're talking about defining which death penalty you're chayev, so over there Rebbe holds that actually when it comes to a death penalty, she's not considered to be a betula, even though she's physically a betula. Masha'enken, when it comes to knas, over there, it goes according to whether she's physically a betula. That's what the last thing we learned was, and the question is, why are they different? Mashla Miktala. So over there we have a pasuk that Rebbe is derish, and of course, Shainei Hatam. It's different because the pasuk says, Beferish, Umeit Ha'ish Asher Shachav Ima Levadon. I was about to tell you yesterday, all of these psukim are in this week's parasha, so it's all very topical. So there we're talking about a different situation where we had the case of someone who actually rapes this Nara, but in this case, she is in a place where nobody could have saved her. So it says, if he rapes her out in a field somewhere and he forces her, then he's the only one that is going to be chayiv. And the next pasuk goes on to say, v'lenara lo tase davar. Don't do anything to the nara herself. Now, since it already said, don't do anything to the nara, because she's not at fault, she was raped, why do we need, in the first pasuk, umeit ha'ish ha'shoshachavim alevado? Obviously, there's only two people involved. If we're not going to do anything to the Nara, so then he's the only one that's chayev. I don't understand. Therefore, that is the point. The point is that where there's, in this case, is levado, means that if there were more than one person, then it would only be the one, the first one, who would be chayev skila. And everyone else would not be chayev skila. So since when it comes to the din of the death penalty, the Torah specifies levado, so it's making a distinction between the first one and the other ones. That's what the levado is. Not the difference between him and the woman. but between him and the other rapists. That's what we're referring to. And according to the Rabbanan actually learned that all 10 of them are Chayav Skila, if we're talking about a Bia Shaloka Dargo. So then what do they use this Levado? Ah, they learn it as this. Mibaylele Kiritanya. Umeitu gam shnehem, ach yushavim ke'echad, divir Rabbi Yoshaya. So here we have another pasuk also from our parsha. Kim yimatzei ish shochevim isha bu'ulat baal, umeitu gam shnehem, ha'isha shochevim ha'isha, va'isha uvi'arta haram Yisrael. So he says that if it says shnehem, why would it not be? What do I need to know of shnehem? It comes to tell me, says Rabbi Hoshaya, according to Rashi, this is Rashi's shot, comes to tell me that unless both of them are chayev, that neither of them are chayev. So what that would mean, again, according to Rashi, is let's say one of them is below the age of chiyuvim, so they're a katan or a ktana, since you're not going to punish them, so the other one is also not chayev. That's Rashi's approach. Tosfos argues vehemently against that approach because we've seen many cases where that's not true, and we're about to actually learn one right now. So it's difficult to believe that that is part of a machlokes. And therefore, Tosfos understands this to be a rather complex issue that has to do with a question in the event that there's a difference between the death of the male or the female, which is the question of whether there would be a chiyuv of chenek, or whether there would be a chiyuv of skila, whether if we're not going to be able to be mechayev one of them, that we couldn't be mechayev the other one, but only in cases where it's not the same chiyuv. Okay, but we'll just take it kipashta, it's not like Rashi, so that we need the pasuk to tell me, according to Reb Hoshaya, it says, davka shnehem, whereas Reb Yonatan says, no. That's the reason the Torah says, Umeita Isha Shechav Yima Levado. The extra word Levado is gufa to tell me that even if only one of them is Chayev, because he's the only one that's an adult, he's the one that will be Chayev, even though she is not Chayev. That's the point. So that would be the way that the Chachomim understand the Levado. Not to make this distinction between rapist number one and rapist number two through ten. No. Nothing to do with that. Why would there be a difference? According to the Chachamim, a betula is a betula is a betula. We don't create a betula where there was no actual penetration. And therefore, this is coming to tell me something else. Okay. But everybody agrees that when it says bu'ulat ba'al, Rabbanan and the Chachamim would agree that if we're talking about a case of a bia shelo kedarka, and it was the husband that had made her a bu'ula through Bia Shelo Kedarka. Legabe the husband, bu'ulat ba'al. The husband gives her a din of bu'ula. This is basically the way that we darshan, that when it comes to Bia Shelo Kedarka, only a husband, that for sure, is going to make her a bu'ula. Now, some of the Rishonim learn, which makes a great deal of sense, that this is talking about bedavka when he used that bia to be kaina her. Because since, by definition, that is what made her his, so then it has an extreme importance and it's set aside as an act of intercourse in terms of ishus. And there, it's considered to be bu'ulat baal, that which made him the baal. Okay, in any event, some learn this means always, some learn it means dafke if it was the bia that he was kind of a bia. But moving on, Rabbi Yochanan, remember, he learned that bu'ulat baal was there to tell me that you can make kedushin through bi'ila. And he didn't accept Rebbe's drasha that said, ki yikach ishi sha'u ba'ala, because he said that pasuk might have meant that you need both the kesev and the bia, right? So because of that, he's not able to utilize bu'ulat baal to tell me this halacha, that the husband makes her a bu'ula. So how does he know that din, that a husband makes a bu'ula? Because, says Rabbi Yochanan, I can learn both things from here. Why would it have to say bu'ulat baal? It could have said bu'ulat ish. It was only coming to tell me that the halacha is that you could create kedushin. So say bu'ulat ba'al, but bu'ulat ish. But to say bu'ulat ba'al, I mean, the context over there is that these people are committing adultery because she was a bu'ulat ish. So if you want to tell me that there's something unique about the Baal's relationship to an intercourse that is shelo kedarka, that's why it says bu'ulat Baal specifically, that the husband is unique in making her a bu'ula, la halakha, and that you can in general be kena a woman through be'ila shvamina tarte. Okay, now the question is, what do we mean by intercourse? Because there's many stages to intercourse. So we have what's called ha'ara. Now ha'ara is itself a machlokas that we had in Yevamos. Ha'ara may be simply touching genitally without any penetration at all. Ha'ara may mean, according to the other Bandi Omar, the insertion just of the tip of the penis. We have gemar bia. Gemar bia is complete insertion. So, and then anything after that is just extra fun. But that's certainly not part of what is defined as the act of bia, right? So now the question is, if you're being kena with bia, what part of the bia is kena? Is the trila of the bia kona, or is the sof of the bia kona? Now there's a machlokas is exactly what is meant here. Most of Rishonim learn that Trilas Bia means insertion, does not mean Neshikat Ever. So is insertion enough to be Kena, or does it mean complete insertion? Sov Bia Kona. What's the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is extremely practical, because let us say this is a very active woman. So this guy's got the tip of his penis in her. She sticks out her hand and she grabs Kedushin from another guy. Oh boy, oh boy. What a situation. Who is she married to? Mr. A or Mr. B? So now, if the Bia was kind of at the beginning, so she already was Mikudeshes to Mr. A. But if not, then she is now Mikudeshes to Mr. B. Mr. A may better not do anything more than that. And therefore, she would be an Eshet Ish to a different guy. That's one big difference, right? So the guy was Ha'araba, and then she's Parshta Yada. She sticks her hands out, and she's Mekabel Kedushin from somebody else. Or, I'll tell you another very simple difference, major difference, an amazing difference. Can a Kohen Gadol be Kona a wife who is a Betula by being Mekadesh or Bibia? That makes a big difference. See, because look, if you're going to tell me the Kohen Gadol that the moment that he was Machnis HaTorah, so that already makes Kedushin, that's fine. But if you're telling me that Sof Bia is Kena, so then he made her first a Bu'ula, because Lagabi the Kohen Gadol, remember, it says Isha Bibituleha. Bibituleha means the whole thing. She's got to have all aspects of her fresh and untouched. So the moment that he would have done hara, whatever that hara was, she would no longer have been muteret to him. That's the problem. So if that's the case, he can't possibly be mekadesh bibia, because she becomes asura by the time he gets to gemar bia. She's already a ba'ula. Oh my gosh. So there, it makes all the difference in the world how we're going to define this. Now you can see how this would have severe implications, legabi the question of what do we mean by Trilas Bia? Because if Yod Isha Bibetulea Yikach, and that even the Shikas Ever is considered to be Bia, so then even if you hold that Trilas Bia would be Knisa, then she anyway would be Asuratim. Okay, these are all part of the discussion in great, great detail between the various shitas. How do we understand the sugya? Not to mention the fact that there's an extreme problem in that we had back in Yevamos that it was absolutely clear that Trilas Bia is Kena. So the question is, why? I mean, the Gemara said, so Beferish brought Raya. I mean, why are we asking this question here? So we'll discuss that in a minute when we see what the halacha is, because it gets worse. We paskin here the opposite of what the Gemara came out with in Yevamos. Omra Meimar Mishmei Derava. Look, if somebody is actually involved in intercourse, He's thinking about Gmar Bia. Doesn't have his mind on the technicalities of what Tchilas Bia is. Isn't that the whole point? It's always the question of doing more. And therefore, it's obviously his das is in terms of Gmar Bia. Now, this idea itself is the idea that Tosfos uses in order to get out of the problem of the Gemara in Yevamos. Because the idea over there, says the Rashba, Tosfos brings it, that the Tchilas Bia is Kena. That's true, but that's all he did. So if that's all he did, it obviously we wouldn't say Da'ato al Sof Bia. He just wanted the technicality of making her his wife. Okay, so he makes her his wife. He doesn't have any cash. He doesn't have a shtar. Well, there's an easy way to make a wife. But, I mean, he doesn't want to actually have full intercourse with her at this point. He just wants to make a kinyan. So he makes a kinyan. So if he was never Gomer, of course that would be sufficient. Or let's take a case where the guy says, Beferish, I want to be kena you with Tchilas Bia. If Tchilas Bia is kena, that has nothing to do with the fact that there could be a Gemar Bia, since he said, I want you with the kinyan that the Torah gave. That's the kinyan that the Torah gave. That's what the Gemara is talking about in Yevamos. Here we're talking about the practicalities of what his das is. So that's a completely different situation. Now, question, however, is, this is an amazing question, what does Bia achieve? Is Bia an act of Kiddushin alone, or is Bia going all the way, so to speak, in that it also will achieve the Kinyan that would have been achieved by Chuppah? Meaning, it doesn't mean you don't have to go to the Chuppah in order to be Matir further relationships with her. That's a different din. But the question is, does it achieve the state of Nisuin? Now, you may be able to achieve the state of Nisuin either through Chuppah or through Bia. The question of whether you still need a Chuppah because of that special sense of being Machnas, a woman, into your home to start living together as man and wife, that's a totally different issue. This is how the Reb Chaim Brisker understands it, because otherwise there's a lot of problems in the Rambam, and it makes things very clear. We're talking about the kinyan aspect. The difference between those two kinyanim is massive. Even if you're not allowed to sleep with her without a chuppah, if she dies, the husband would be yorisher. If he's a kohen, he would go ahead to be matami himself for a funeral, and he would be made for nidorim. So all the differences between the completion of nisuin, do they appear the moment that someone is bayal, even though that be'ila was for kedushin, it automatically creates the advanced stage of connection, which is nisuin? Or do we still need a separate act to achieve nisuin? Now, for sure, if you went ahead, if you went ahead and were bayal after being kena with bia, so over there that bia would achieve nisuin, even though you would still need chuppah. But the question is whether a bia for erisin is automatically a nisui, because that is the complete ishus that you want and that you've achieved. So what's the nafkamina, says the Gemara? The nafkamina is obvious. L'yorsha, l'tamela, l'afer nidarea. If you're going to tell me that actual bia automatically makes her nesua, so then if she dies, yorsha, if he's a kohen, he'll be metame to her funeral, he'll be made for her nedarim. But if you're telling me it's only a din of erisin, eino yorsha, eino metamala, eino mefer nedarea, what's the din? This is very relevant, right? Om Rabbi, I'll bring you a raya from a beferisha mishnah in Ksuvos. It says over there, ha'av zakai bebito bekidusha bekesib b'shtar ubebia. So a father has these following rights. First of all, he's the one who defines her kiddush. And it says over here, including bia. It requires his giving her over for bia. He's zakai b'mitziatav. She finds things, he gets to keep it. He's zakai in her work and her salary. He's zakai in her afaras nedarim. And if she gets divorced during the erisin, he's mekabel as gita. But what's interesting is that her father is not allowed to take things that she inherits. So let's say that you have a nara hamu'urasa, and she inherits through her mother. So suppose a relative of hers died that is not related to the father. So then her father can't take any of that Yerusha at all. So obviously, if she then dies, then he's Yorisher, like we said. But as long as she's alive, she maintains control over all of the things that came to her from the outside through the death of a rich uncle and so on, right? Masha Ein Kein, that's all the father. So the husband, however, is ahead of the father. Because once she's nis'eit, the Baal immediately gets more rights than the father because he is allowed to utilize those things that are entirely hers. He's allowed to utilize the value, even though the actual body of, let's say, she inherits the field from her rich uncle, he gets to keep the payros, which the father didn't have a right to. Now, here's my point, says Abaye. Note that it says, it started off by saying, the father is zakai to her kedushin of all types, including bia. And then it says nis'eit. Oh, wait a minute. So then, but I thought she already had bia. Ah, so apparently the bia did not achieve nisuin. And then we have a subsequent nis'eit, and the nis'eit now gives him those rights. Okay, so obviously the bia did not achieve the right for the Baal to be oichel peros b'chaya, which means that they weren't married. So katani bia v'katani nis'eit. Ah, come on. That's not much of a raya. I mean, it says three things over there. Av zakai b'kidushah b'keser b'shtar b'bia. So how do you know that the nis'eit is referring to the case of the bia? And then the nis'eit is that even though she was b'kudeshes b'keser b'shtar, then if she's nis'eit, but maybe the bia itself would be nis'eit. That's not a raya. I'm sorry. Omar Rava, okay, I'll bring a raya. And I'll bring a raya that you do not achieve nisuin through bia. Omar Rava Toshma, Bat Shalosh Shalim V'Yom Echad, Mitkadeshet B'Viyah. Now remember, this is very important always to recall. The concept of Bia in the Torah has nothing to do with the way Goyim see Bia. They will think that you've sodomized a person by sticking a broomstick up their rear end. I mean, it's the biggest joke in the world. The concept of Bia is defined by genitals. But what are genitals? Like everything else, the Torah has a definition of what are genitals. You attack a little girl, or you attack a big girl, and you stick your finger into her genitals. Is this considered to be bia? No. Fingers are not genitals. It's just the same thing as jamming a broomstick up. It's a joke. It's an assault. It has nothing to do with anything sexual. Fine. That's the way the Torah views it. What defines genitals? A shiur like any other shiur. Does a 9-year-old have genitals? Yes. Does an 8-year-old boy have genitals? No. So what is that thing that looks like a genital? It has nothing to do with what it looks like. It has to do with what it's defined as. That's a finger. The same thing is true of a girl. Less than 3 years old, that has nothing to do with genitals. It's like sticking your finger, the way the Gemara puts it, you stick a finger in an eye. Is that sexual? No. It's the same thing over here. It's not genital. Now, it's very important to understand that to be able to realize what the next thing is saying. The next piece is what we're talking about, is at what point there exists the concept of bia. If you don't have genitals, you're going to have an awful hard time having intercourse. And since Pochas Bibat Shalosh Shanim does not have genitals, so therefore, there's no way that you can have intercourse with her. Therefore, all of the issues that are defined by the act of Bia will, by definition, not be possible, will not apply to a girl who's less than 3 years old. So once she's Bat Shalosh Shanim V'Yom Echad, then it is possible to have Bia with her in all ways. She gets Kedushin through Bia. Obviously, the father has to be Makabel the Kedushin. If she's a Yavama and the Yavam was Baalea, she is a complete Yavama. And you would be Chayav Alea Mishum Eshes Ish. So even though she, this is Tosfos' problem, by the way, though I mentioned before, that we see even if only one party is Chayav, the other party is Potter, we don't say they're both Potter, which would mean that this would be Dafka, not like Rav Hoshaya. This doesn't make sense. So this is something that everybody would be mated to. And once she's 3 years old, the male would be chayev. Obviously, she's not chayev. She's too young. So you would be chayev ala mishumeshes ish. And let's say that she's a nida. And as we've pointed out many times, it's very easy for a three-year-old to be a nida. As a matter of fact, it's very easy for a one-day-old infant to be a nida, which is very common because of hormones of the mother that get to her through the placenta, and she's actually bleeding vaginally. So she could be a nida. Maybe she was born that way, and she never went to a mikveh as a little three-year-old. So fine. So now if somebody sleeps with a nida, so the din is that he becomes v'tehi nidata alav, that he becomes actually also tomei, just like her. Mitameyat bo'ala. What would that mean, mitameyat bo'ala? Well, it means that he is tomei 7 days, but there's a little bit of a difference between the tuma of the one who sleeps with her and the tuma of the nida. This is important to remember. It's a little bit complicated. It sounds complicated. It's really very simple. The question is this: mitame mishkav umoshav. So mitame mishkav umoshav means that's what we always call the princess and the pea. No matter how many mattresses there are under this little princess, all of those mattresses and anything beneath them, including the pea, is going to, except for the fact that peas may be a little too small to be makabel tuma, that's the question about Chlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether for Kabbalah's tuma you need the shear of the kibbutz, okay, but we don't want to miss out on the princess and the pea, so maybe we're talking about a very large pea with the shear of the Chazon Ish, okay? So anyway, so the pea is no big deal because it's very easy to be metame food, you see, but how in the world is the woman metame the mattress, and then that mattress is metame the mattress under it, and then 100 mattresses down? I mean, there's nothing that's metame 100 steps. You can only be metame Adam v'kelim if you're an avatuma. Ah, that's the secret of Tumas Mishkav Umoshav. In Tumas Mishkav Umoshav, anything which is under the person who's tame, so this would be true if you're talking about a Zav, you're talking about a Zava, you're talking about a Nida, any of the metame Mishkav Umoshav, the tuma will go all the way down. That's the point. But there's a big difference between the actual nida and between a person who sleeps with a nida. Both of them are metame mishkav umoshav. And what's more, both of them will be metame the pi. But the question is, can they do more than be metame a pi? Because a pi is able to be makabel tuma even from a rishon letuma. But now, what would be the din if a person touches that mattress that was Batami the pea? So if she is an actual Nida, that mattress is Batami like an Av Hatuma to be Batami even Adam V'Kelim. But if he is someone who slept with a Nida, that mattress will only be Batami the pea and will not be Batami an Adam V'Kelim because it's only a Rishon Atuma and not an Av Hatuma. And that's why the whole story revolves around the princess and a pea dafka, in order to teach you the difference between metame mishkav tachton ke'elyon. Ke'elyon means ke'elyon shel zav. Elyon shel zav means something that a zav would just come in contact with, the clothes that he's wearing, and so on. So if he touches something, he can only be metame the erchlin. So that's lemishkav. The tami mishkav tachton ke'elyon means ke'elyon shel zav. You put a blanket over a zav and so on. And that means it's going to be metame oichlin umashkin, but will not be metame kelim, or certainly not adam. Okay. Ve'im niseit la'kohen. You see, here we're getting to the same issue. If she went ahead and she gets married to a kohen, then she eats truma. We were talking about having slept with her before, and now we're talking about Niseit L'Kohen. So we're going to see the differences here. So if she was actually Niseit, furthermore, anyone who is considered to be an Erva to her, if he sleeps with her, has committed the Isser Erva, because she's 3 years plus. But she, of course, will remain Petura. How about if she's a Kohenes, she comes from a Kohen's family, and one of the psulim was Baalea, she's not going to be allowed to eat Truma anymore. because it turned her into a chalala or a zoina, depending what the case is. Now, here is my proof. Same proof, but this time, how are you going to get out of it? It says over here, Bia, says a three-year-old is able to be Mekudeshes b'Bia. And then it says that if she's Nisait, I thought you just said she had Bia, that should be enough for Nisait. So this proves that the Bia is not itself Nisuin. Nah. When it says Nisait, how do you know it's not referring to the Bia itself? Maybe it means like this. If what we're talking about over here, a Kohen who had been boils, if the Nisuin are of a Kohen, so he, in other words, took her Bibia, and that created Nisuin, how do you know it means she went to the Chuppah? You're assuming it means two separate stages. If that Bia took place by a Kohen, she would be allowed to eat Betruma. That's what it means. Okay. Whew. Possibly. So far, we haven't been able to find any clear-cut proof as to whether Bia is Osa Nisuin or it's Osa only Eris. Toshma. How about this? A fascinating story. Kvar Shalach Yochanan ben Bagbag Eitzel Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterel and Netzivim. So we once had a Maisa where Yochanan ben Bagbag sends this message to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterel, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterel, he lived in Barnea's neighborhood, but he was like a big gadol that was able, along with Barnea, who could sit in Netzivim and have his net spread over the entire earth. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's exactly the point. So this like made a lot of people nervous because all of these various Piskei Halachas were coming from Netzivim. Where is Netzivim, Barnea? Tell us about Netzivim.
It's on the road between Karkemish and Haran, between Eretz Yisrael and Haran, and it's on the border of Syria and Turkey today. It's Nusaybin. And Sammy the Taylor has been there, his family's from that area. And it's mamash on the road of the Avos and the Baos, following the rivers, following the Prah.
And you're telling us that when you went to Haran, you weren't able to pass through Netzivim just because of politics?
No, it was a matter of time. I would love to take the train, because the train follows that map. But I've not had the opportunity. But I must say, I watched this mice under Schlangers and Salshir. Rabbi Yosef Tendler, that's how it came in to give a bechina. And Svi Wagoda was not on his favorite list. And so he asked on that Gemara Pesachim, so why did they kill the Goy? And Svi Wagoda said, Avram and Achai. And Rabbi Tamla 6 broke out. He was about to rip into him. And he said, Mr. Shishimish Pesach, okay, and can you explain it? And it was Rudimus himself's Pesach, that since it's all Bushel Ke'echad for Ben Noyach, it was Avram and Achai. And it's that
Gemara. Okay, but this was a rather far-fetched example of man, oh man, we got to be very careful when we ask Rabbanei anything. Anyway, so Ben Bagbag sent him a question. He said, I heard about you, some terrible things. Shamati Alecha. Shata Omera Rusa Bat Yisrael Ochelet Betruma. You have been going around saying that an Arusa who married a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, and she doesn't have to wait for the Chuppah. Now, he didn't like exactly that language, Shamati Alecha, so he answered pretty sharply. Really? Says Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah back in a, you know, it's funny. Ata Yata Omer Kain, and you don't believe that? I used to think you were a very well-learned man, you know? Murzakani Becha, Shatabaki Bechadre Torah. I mean, you're like, know so much. You got a good reputation. How the heck don't you know how to be Dorish HaKal V'Chomer? Every idiot knows how to be Dorish HaKal V'Chomer. So the Drosh B'Kal V'Chomer, Yata Yodea. What are you sending me a weird message like that for? I mean, think about that for a minute, man. Look, let's say a Kohen owns a Shivcha Knani. Can he feed her Truma if the way that he purchased the Shivcha Knani was through Bia? No. That's not going to allow her to eat Truma. Only money. He buys her, the Torah said, Kinyan Kaspo, Hu Yochalba. So if he bought her, she gets the Truma. So over here, where we're talking about the wife of a kohen, where biatama achilata betruma, so sleeping with her for sure is going to allow her to eat truma. Now we'll see what that means in a moment, but we're assuming that it means sleeping with her in order to be makadosher is going to allow her to eat truma. Wow! So he's saying that bia is oisa nisuin, and that's a given, right? Eino din shekaspa machilata betruma. So you don't understand that it's a kal v'chomer, that for sure, if he was makadosher with kesev, she's considered to be kinyan kaspo at the very least. So kol shekein, if that's good enough for the oma, I mean for the shivcha knanit, kol shekein, it's good enough for a wife. That's the din d'oraisa. Unfortunately, Mr. Ben Bagbaga, I cannot follow through with that psak halacha l'maisa, because what am I supposed to do about the fact it makes a lot of sense, but the Chachomim say she's not allowed to. In Arusa Bat Yisrael Ochelet Betruma, Ad Shetikanes L'chupa. So we already had before, we've learned the old Coke in the fridge problem, which is Ula's understanding of the problem. And Arusa, if she is going to be allowed to eat Truma, is inevitably going to be putting something into the fridge in her house. And it's in her house means she's still living out of the house of her husband because she's only an arusa. And if she's going to put it in the fridge of her father's house, so then her kid brother and sister are going to come and they're going to eat the truma. They don't know it's truma. They see it in the fridge. And therefore, we don't allow a woman who's not actually living with her husband, the kohen, we don't allow her to have truma because it is gezeira. I agree that you're not allowed to in practical terms. Now, forgetting about the issue between Ben Bagbag and Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera, can you explain to me this kal v'chomer that Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera just made, okay? He makes a kal v'chomer about mamon, kesev, which is bepashtas, he's making a kal v'chomer of kedushe kesev from bia, from kedushe bia. Now, I know that you could try to get out of this. So let me go through all the possibilities, okay? What do you think he's talking about? You think he's talking about making a kal v'chomer with bia where there was chuppa to bia to kesef where there was a chuppa? Nobody is ever going to argue about that case. In both cases, she would be allowed to eat truma because she's already gone to the chuppah. There's no gezeiras there. He said, beferish, that what can I do? I can't allow it. Of course you can allow it. She's already at the chuppah. So we're sure as heck not talking about a case where she went to the chuppah, right? Okay, so scotch that. Now, he's making a kal v'chomer from the fact that you, Mr. Ben Bagbag, certainly agree that bia is okay for her to eat truma. What bia does he mean? Is he bringing a raya that if she went to the chuppah and also had bia, then just kesev without bia would allow her to just do erisin, would allow her to eat truma? That's a joke. What kind of kal v'chomer is that? The case of bia is a case we had both steps, achatarte, bia plus chuppah. How are you going to bring a raya from bia plus chuppah, a kal v'chomer, to kesev without chuppah? That's just stupid. So it can't mean that. I have two, and here it's one. El alav, there's only one way to understand these words of Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera, and that is bebia shaloa yedechopa vekesef shaloa yedechopa. So for some reason, he is saying, look, we're all agreed that obviously if she was an arusa through chuppah, she could eat truma. That you're agreed to. So can't you understand how to make a kal v'chomer that kesev as an arusa should eat truma? Now, why was Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera more convinced that the bia will allow her to eat truma and needs to go to the kesev only by an inference of a kal v'chomer from the bia? Why is bia more obvious? So how do you explain that? Aha, I'll tell you how to explain it. It's pretty clear to me. If you're going to tell me, well, of course, bia is more powerful because bia always does both erisin and nisuin. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera said, look, I mean, we're all agreed that if he had taken this woman, al yedei bia, of course she can eat truma because she's already completely his wife. And therefore, it's obvious to Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera that that kind of kinyan is more powerful than kesef. So alim ala bia mi kesef, right? But if you're going to tell me bia doesn't do anything different than money, and it just does kiddushin, so why is it more obvious to him? What do you mean, Mr. Ben Bagbag? You don't know how to make a kal v'chomer. It's a given that bia. Why is it a given that bia? It's not a given that bia. They're both the same situation. If you hold that Erisin is not allowing her to eat truma, what's the difference in Erisin through bia or an Erisin through an actual, just typical diamond ring? Barnea seems fixated on Ula about the bottle of truma in the fridge, which he's trying to illustrate. But we'll see that that's not necessarily the only issue that's going on here. Patience, Barnea, patience. First, let's finish the sugya. Then you can give us the show and tell of Benji Wygoda for the day. But if you're going to tell me, Eliyamrit, that bia is only kedushin, why is it more obvious to Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera that bia will allow her to eat, and mashnagol to misafkale, whereas when it comes to kesef, he's got to look for a raya that she's allowed to eat truma? It's exactly the case. So clearly, Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera considers bia to be, by definition, different than kesef. Why? Only one possible reason. Bia achieves nisuin. Eres Kesef only achieves erisin. So there's your raya. Amrim Nachum Bar Yitzchak, I don't think that it's a raya. Why not? Because I could tell you like this. Look, let's say that we're talking about bia with chuppah, okay? So you said, well, what do you mean? If the bia is with chuppah and the Kesef is without chuppah, how can you make a kal v'chomer for something that has both to something that only has one? And you thought that's a killer of an argument, right? I think it's a garbage of an argument. And I'll tell you why. The Ka'amrit, well, you said, well, here it's two things. The case of bia with chuppah, how are you going to bring a riot to kesef without chuppah? It doesn't matter because the logic remains impeccable. And here's the logic. Kal v'chomer mi'ayite. He's telling Ben Bagbag, Akashalachle, don't you understand? If a Kohen will take a Kenanit, a Shivcha Kenanit, I don't give a hang what he did. He could do that bia together with Chuppah. It won't make any difference because obviously a Shivcha Kenanit does not have any Kinyan of Ishus. So, Ein Biyatam Achilata Betruma, even with Chuppah. And nonetheless, kesef is ma'achilat betruma without chuppah. So over here, a normal Yisraelit is bia ma'achilat with chuppah? With chuppah. Yes? Fine. So then the kesef should be ma'achilata the same way the kesef is ma'achil the shivcha knanit. Without chuppah. There's no such thing as chuppah but the shivcha knanit, right? So what's wrong with that kal v'chomer? That's what Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera was saying. It doesn't mean that he took for granted that bia does more than kesef in terms of kedushin. He is talking about bia with chuppah being doing more. So in addition, kaspa mechilata betruma without chuppah. Aval ma eese. What am I supposed to do? The chachamim saying ein arusa bat yisrael achelat betruma ad shit kikanes betruma bechuppah. Why? Because of ula. And this is your big moment, Barnea. What did Ula say? Wave the bottle. Yeah, there you go. Ula said, what if you've got a bottle of Schweppes that was made from Truma? And she puts that, that's what Barnea holds that bottle for all the time. She puts that in the fridge. And actually, Barnea found this in his fridge. So now imagine if his daughter had been Mekabelet Kiddushin, the Kohen had sent her this special bottle of Schweppes. She put it in the fridge, and now comes along other people who don't know. Of course, in this case, Barnea is a Kohen, so all his kids would be Kohanim, so it wouldn't matter that much. But if he had other people, they might come and take that bottle of Schweppes and be over on a terrible Isser of a Zaja Ochel Truma. That's the problem. And that is what Ula was concerned with. And this is what Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra was saying. So wait a second. So that's pretty good kaf chomer, no? What's Ben Bagbag's basis for rejecting that kaf chomer? He's got a problem with that. I mean, he made this big deal. How could you say that she's muteret? Well, actually, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra seems right. No, says Ben Bagbag. It's not a good kaf chomer. Because if you buy a shifcha kananit with kesef, you got her. 100%. There's nothing else that needs to be done to complete the kinyan on that shivcha kna'anit. So gabe shivcha kna'anit lo shi'er b'kinyana. And therefore, you left nothing over. She is considered to be kinyan kaspo hu yochalbo. Masha enkein, if you gave money to a woman for kedushin, you got something serious still ahead. And that's the nisuin. Well, until you do the nisuin, it's not considered to be the full kinyan kaspo. Maybe Kinyan Kaspo means a full Kinyan Kaspo, not an 80% Kinyan Kaspo, and therefore I am not impressed with your Kal Vachomer. Fine. But that way, we don't have to assume that the discussion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra and Ben Bagbag was based on Chuppah doing Nisui. Okay, that's very nice. Ravina says, you don't have to go all this way to figure out why this is not a raya. I'll tell you very simply. Ravina Amar, you could still say that chuppah is, that bia does not achieve nisuin. And you misunderstand the entire conversation between Ben Bagbag and between Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, okay? What's going on over here is that Ben Bagbag, of course, knew that midiraisa, of it's obvious that a woman who is Mikudeshes, Mifshep Shitalei, that she's allowed to eat Truma. All that he was telling Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra was, why aren't you going to Aser this Midrabanan? So he said to Rabbi Yehuda, the message was, I have heard that you actually allow an Arusa to eat Truma, and you're not worried about, you're not worried about a simpon. And what is a simpon? A simpon is a cancellation blast. Now, it could be anything. A simpon could be if you've got a receipt on a shtar, okay? And you've got this big case against you, you know, and they're posking $2 million and you owe it. You walk in with a little piece of paper that says paid. Oh, what a blast, baby. That is a simpon, smashes the opposition on the spot. So that's the word simpon. It's something that'll just cancel the whole thing straight out. So when we're talking about a simpon in the sense of marriage, what do we mean? What will cancel a marriage straight out? Well, I'll tell you. If you find out that the marriage was based on a misunderstanding. So suppose when you get to the actual chuppah later on, now you're about to sleep with this woman, it turns out she's an alien. Well, you never had in mind to marry an alien, and that would mean that milechatchila, she was never your wife. The whole thing was a big mistake, because she's got five legs, and must be she's from Mars or something, right? And therefore, if you had known she had five legs, you never would have married her. That's a blast of a simpon. So how come you're not worried that something might show up? Now, it doesn't have to be as dramatic as five legs. It could be something that would be a turnoff to anybody, and we assume he would never have wanted to marry a woman who's got this enormous mole or whatever, right? So that's called a simpon. Why aren't you worried about a simpon? How come you're allowing her to eat truma? So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra sends back to him, I don't understand. Are you not aware of a simple thing called a kal vachomer, and you don't know how to be dorish a kal vachomer? I'll bring you a kal vachomer from a shivcha kananit. Okay? A shivcha kananit, there's no way that you can actually be ata be ma'achil betruma. Okay? So you don't know anything about how many legs she's got, correct? Okay. Now, nonetheless, you bought her with money, okay? And that's enough. So when it comes, why is it enough? Why aren't we afraid that when he bought this Shifcha Kna'anit with money that there is some kind of simpon. Now, obviously, a shifcha with five legs may do a better job than a shifcha with one leg. So it's not the same type of simpon. But there are simpons, which we'll discuss, that would have been possible for a shifcha. And nonetheless, the Torah says, you bought her, feed her truma. So kol shekein, in this case, the wife, where biata is ma'achilata betruma, so eno din shekaspa ma'achilata betruma velo nechosh v'simpon. You see, the Torah doesn't expect us to be concerned for these blasts of unexpected issues. But nonetheless, I agree that in practical terms, she cannot eat truma because of another issue. Barney, it's time to wave the bottle. The other issue being Ula. And here we have Barnea doing show and tell. Yes, thank you, Barnea. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Let me write a note to mommy. And that's beautiful. Excellent. So what we have, therefore, this is strange, because then what we have, therefore, is an agreement between Ben Bagbag and between Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera. Ben Bagbag is upset that Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera is not worried about simpon. Makes no difference. Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera is worried about Coke bottles or Schwepp bottles. So it boils down to the same thing, right? I mean, you can't, in practical terms, give an Arus Abbas Yisrael anything to eat. And therefore, Ben Bagbag, what am I saying? Says Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera, Arus Abbas Yisrael cannot eat Betruma because of Ula. Achi tikanes l'chupa mishum de Ula. So why does Ben Bagbag not like that? Oh, says Ben Bagbag. Well, I mean, what's a simpon be'avodim? If she's got five legs, she can do a better job. If she turns out to be an octopus, she can do an even better job. So there's no such thing as a simpon. I mean, what do you think a simpon is? Something that is so ugly that it's just impossible to have her around the house? He would have seen that. He saw it and he went through with it, buying him. Obviously, doesn't have any problem with it. So what are we talking about? You're buying an Eved who's got a big, ugly mole? What the heck do you care? I mean, that's not on display. The Malacha Kabayla. You bought, here it's talking about a male, but the same thing is true about the female. You're buying him for work. What does he care? Lo yichpatle. Ella what? It turns out that the Eved that you bought is basically a ganav. He keeps stealing everything. Or he's a gambler, according to the Rabbeinu Hananel and a Kuv Yustas, although Rashi always learns Kuv Yustas means he's a kidnapper. Oh, what's the difference? What did you expect to get? If you buy an Eved, you're buying a ganav anyway, right? Of course you know that they steal. So that's, you took that into consideration. You can't claim, oh, I thought that he was an honest man. What made you think he was an honest man? So, my Amrit, what are you going to say? That maybe there is a simpon. The simpon would be that he's an actual mobster and he's going around killing people, or he's already got a death warrant out for him, an arrest warrant. Those kind of things, those have kolot in advance. People generally know about them. And therefore, it's your problem of not doing due diligence to find out whether this guy was on the list of arrest warrants. Okay, so there's no problem with a simpon, and not according to Ben Bagbag. But then that means that we're both absolutely agreed. Tomorrow, we're going to find out, Bezrat Hashem, what the difference is. Since in practical terms, they're saying the same things. You cannot give an arusa bat Yisrael as long as she's not nichneset l'chuppah truma min rabbanan. But min yoraisa, we're all agreed that you can. And so, stay at the edge of your seats. Trevor, I'm terribly sorry to do this for you. I knew you were looking forward to getting a little bit of a rest today. It's going to be hard. There is medication, however, that can be taken to relieve the stress of waiting for tomorrow's daf. There you go. There you go. Beautiful. A nice cup of scotch or champagne or whatever you got there. That should help. Unless you've got your own bottle of Coke, but then you should be stressed out. How do you know that Coke is, oh my gosh, it might have been, oh my gosh, it might be truma. You can't even drink that Coke. You better switch to water, which would be healthier anyway. So we'll see you tomorrow. to figure out what the difference is between Ben Bogbog and between Reb Yudah Ben Batera, in which it turns out that this big, enormous battle sort of fades out with a whimper. Okay, so meanwhile, we've got two reasons not to bring a raya that chuppah is dafka, is osa nisuin, in this case, including Ravina's subsequent explanation. Kol tov, everybody. Have a great and wonderful day, and we look forward to Bisurot Tovot and the continued L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi. Kol tov, everybody.